Welcome back to the Reverse Autoimmune Disease Summit 2.0, or the Trauma Summit. We're talking about the link between trauma and autoimmunity, and I'm so delighted to bring in front of you Risa Suzuki, who is a published author of What the EMF, How to Protect Your Home from EMF Exposure, Improve Sleep, Reduce Anxiety, and Live a Happier, Healthier Life. And she's a certified building biology environmental consultant. She specializes in testing and mitigating harmful electromagnetic fields, or EMFs, that are created from our everyday electronics to improve sleep quality, increase your energy, and reduce chronic and inflammation-related symptoms. Welcome to the summit, Risa.
Hi, thank you so much for having me here, Keisha.
This is such an important subject, and you know, with this whole 5G rollout thing, right? There's a lot of hypervigilance around this subject and the people that know what these harmful effects are. So I'd like to start, instead of from there, I want to really start with, what is electromagnetic energy field? How is this? Because this is actually present in every living organism on this planet. The planet has its own electromagnetic energy. So what's going on right now, and how are we interfering with that? And what is it that we're talking about from the building blocks?
So when you think of an electromagnetic field, you can think of it as your life force, right? So as you said, any living thing, right? It could be a person, it could be a plant, animal, anything that's living here on Earth, it has its own field, right? So, you know, for you and I, we would, like if we were going to go and have acupuncture, right? You know, they stick needles in us and it helps the energy flow, right? Because we have this field around us and it helps strengthen our field and kind of smooth out all the bumps and everything. And so what happens is all of our electronics, so think of all of your cell phones, your TVs, your computer, power lines, electricity, those also create their own field as well. And the difference between the two is, you know, one, you know, these are all synthetic or man-made, whereas you and I, our plants and the animals, those are all just part of nature. So they're what, you know, I would call natural EMF fields, and they're needed, you know, in order to sustain life. Where we run into trouble is, you know, when we have these, I just call them like the invisible force field, right? Because you can't actually see them. It's not like smoke or, a pen or something.
Mold.
But yeah, mold, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so what happens is our bodies get around, you know, power lines. You know, if anyone's ever walked under power lines, like there's one hike that I used to do all the time, but I didn't like one part of it because you'd have to walk under power lines and you can feel it just pulsating through your body. Or, you know, if you stand next to a stereo speaker or a car pulls up next to yours and it's got that sound, that bass that's really loud, you can hear it go boom, 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 right? Yeah. And you can feel it through your body, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the same thing. And what happens is because they're man-made, our body doesn't know how to interpret these signals. And so our body, you know, it's you know, quote, unquote, it is an electrical system. So there's different signals that our heart and our brain and our, you know, our connective tissue, our kidneys, they all send different signals. And what happens with all of these man-made things, they're sending out signals that our body doesn't know how the heck to interpret. And so what happens is, you know, our body goes, whoop, what is this? I don't know what this is. And then that's what starts to trigger, you know, the fight or flight syndrome, triggers inflammation in our body and just a whole host of other issues because our body doesn't know what these signals are.
Interferes with sleep.
Sleep, absolutely.
Causes anxiety. I mean, some of these things they look invisible and silent, but how you're showing up in the world with your energy is not invisible and it's not silent.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
So what are some of the, you mentioned some of the sources, but there are some that people don't think about. You know, we got the Amazon Alexa in our house last year, and then I had it for about a hot month and I said, this is out of here. I don't think that just saying into my house, Alexa, turn on the light in the kitchen, is probably energy field that's good for me.
That is so true, because I've measured those, lots of them.
Oh my gosh. It is perfect. It's like throughout your house. And I started realizing, okay, oh, this cannot be good. And we ditched it.
Yeah. And the problem, and so that's a really good example. So anything, you know, there's, and it's hard because I come from a technology background. So I love being efficient and being able to kind of offload or delegate, right? But when these things, you know, it could be a security system, you know, your doorbell, like you said, Alexa to control different things or play music, they're always transmitting. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's the same thing with your Wi-Fi router, or even your cell phone or your laptop, they're constantly transmitting. So, and it's cumulative too. So if you're sitting, you know, and I'm kind of looking around in my office going, oh, I'm so glad that, you know, that I am where I am, because, you know, before I went through all my certification and everything, I had everything, you know, enabled and turned on. And, you know, there's a lot that you can do to mitigate so that you're not constantly being bombarded, because, you know, if you're in a shared office or if you're just, you know, in a home office, you're going to have your, probably your laptop, all your chargers, your cell phone. A lot of people have their routers inside the office really close, right? Because we want things really close and easy to reach. And so that is also a huge impact on your body. It just, it's constantly on the defense, and your body's already been triggered into the fight or flight response, which, you know, our bodies are not designed to be in that mode for very long.
Which is why we talk about trauma in this way, that you're, you know, you're, when you're very young, you establish patterns of reactivity, and those patterns of reactivity are meant to get you out of danger in the short term, not be right on in a sustained period of time. The zebra that's being chased by the lion that's about to get eaten for dinner is only in that, that level of hypervigilance looking for safety until it's eaten or it gets to safety. Right. And that's not a long time, you know, like
right.
Mother
yeah.
Nature has that kind of timed, right? It
right.
either gets eaten
right.
or it gets safe. And we just keep that on for decades, which is why it can take anywhere from 10 to 30 years to actually develop an autoimmune disease. And yeah. so when people have a flare or they're triggered into their autoimmunity for the first time, it's often after like a big emotional crisis, or after they've had a baby, or after they've moved into a different building, or
right.
they've changed offices, or, you know, it's
right.
a big divorce, a big marriage, a big, you know, you name it. And so when we think about this, it, you know, I always talk about this as critical mass. It's never one thing. It's never
yep.
one thing.
I was just going to say the same thing. It's so yeah. hard when you, because usually by the time that the symptoms really start to show up, right,
mm-hmm.
there's so many other things going on. So it's really hard to kind of pinpoint where's the source, or like what I see in clients is, you know, if they're really chronically ill, they'll have more than a couple health issues. And it's hard to determine for, you know, for them to one, you know, see the results immediately. It's usually, you know, like it takes longer for them to feel like they're getting better sleep, or they feel more rested, or their brain fog is cleared up.
And that's because when the, you know, slowly, slowly things have been loading onto the scale. Mm-hmm. And then
yep.
when it tips finally,
it's like, yeah,
you have to slowly, slowly remove them before
right.
it can get into balance again. And so
yep.
let's talk about some of those things, because it won't just be this, you know, it will be all the things we've been talking about, like in the last summit, you know, it's the four corners of the autoimmune puzzle. It's your genetics, it's toxic exposure, it's your digestive health, and it's how you deal with your stress and your past trauma. This is one of those toxic exposures. And so when we think about toxic exposure, then we have an environment that's ubiquitously loaded with toxins. And
right.
then if you already have that critical mass piece building up, then this can be something that can help bring the load down again. So when we yep. talk about that, then what are some methods, some changes people can make, and how they have a relationship to, because I always say, you're not really changing your stress. Like it drives me crazy when people say you just have to reduce your stress. I'm like, what are you going to throw away your special needs child or the caregiving, you know, thing that you
right.
have to do for your elderly parents? Or, you know, like what are you going to do? And so It's really your relationship to your stress. So how can people change their relationship to their electronics? Because they're not going to dump them.
No.
Right? So how can we change our relationship to them? Like, what can we do to make that a better relationship?
So I think the first thing is, you know, it's how open are you to changing your habits?
Yes.
Right? So you think about, right, when you talk about what is your, you know, my relationship with my cell phone is, you know, it's actually across the house right now. Mm. But, you know, I keep just about everything disabled.
That you mean you're not codependent with your cell phone? No.
Well, you know, there are times that I am. And
mine's sitting right here. I should probably go put it away.
But here's the thing, right? So what do you have turned on? Okay. So do you have Wi-Fi? Does your phone need to be connected to a network all the time and have Bluetooth and GPS? And there's all these location services, right?
Those are running. I had a patient last night that was saying that Christmas was too stressful for them. And I said, well, why don't you just opt out and tell your family members you can't go to that cookie decorating party because you're actually stressing so hard about it. And what he said to me is I'd have to turn off my friends and family finder on my phone because they would know where we are. And I thought, oh, what? That's just crazy. You act like that. You talk about not being able to say no. Now your phone is the problem.
Tracking you. Yeah.
Like all your friends and family know where you are. That's an interesting relationship. Right.
Let's talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I always start with the things that, you know, that you have, I want to say near and dear to your heart, but the things that are, you know, that you keep close to you. So for me, it's my cell phone, it's my laptop. Mm-hmm. And what do I really truly need to have turned on and why? And so that's kind of the first thing and the reason why I start with that is because that's the case for most people's, especially here, right, in Seattle, we're very tech heavy. So, you know, there's oftentimes meetings where I'll go into and people will have their cell phone, maybe they'll have two, and they'll have their laptop or a tablet. And you times that by however many people are in the room. Mm-hmm. And so when you have all of these different services turned on, they're sending out different signals and they're downloading data. So if you have, you know, half a dozen services turned on and you turn off four of those, like you've just released your toxic load by that much. And so even though it might seem like it's just kind of a small thing, when you think about, you know, where it is in proximity to where you are and how many hours per day that you're around that, by reducing that, then that's when it starts to add up. And same thing for, you know, your tablets or your laptops. So
okay, that's good.
Yeah. So, or even, you know, like a lot of teenagers sleep with their phones under their pillow, right? And every time I hear that, I'm like, no, don't do that. Put it across, you know, can you put it across the room? Can you put it, you know, in another room, and then, you know, turn off the things that you don't need or put it on airplane mode, you know, until the morning. And so,
yeah, but I might miss a message from somebody or a notification. Exactly. Like that's how teenagers, I say the same thing to my millennial, you know, my 20-year-old somethings. I'm like, so that's good if you miss those things while you're sleeping.
What you're supposed to be doing is sleeping, right?
Sleeping. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's when your body is, you know, it's kind of putting you, I call it the Humpty Dumpty time, right? It's just putting itself back together and, you know, fixing everything that you did to it during the day. And so that's really, that's, you know, one of the more critical times, and at least in my view, and that's, you know, is going to lead to you feeling better and feeling more rested and more clear, you know, as time goes on.
So what about hardwiring, like an Ethernet cable and then turning off a router at night and those kinds of things?
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. I just went through the pain that most of my customers go through because I actually had to switch over to Comcast, and Comcast is known for, you know, I mean, all of the routers are, they just generate huge amounts of radio frequency. But Comcast can be really challenging because they have what's called a personal hotspot. So I've got my own personal network, and you have to kind of jump through hoops to turn off the personal hotspot. And, you know, you can unplug your routers. There are times where it can take quite a long time to come back online, right? Or your computer may not recognize it. So, you know, I always recommend hardwiring if you can because of that. Unplugging a router just basically guarantees that it's not transmitting anything, because if it's still plugged in, it's still going to be transmitting. So what I have seen happen, and what I actually what actually happened to me, is you can disable the different channels. So you're going to have a 2.4 gigahertz and a 5 gigahertz. You know, think of them as bands or channels that they're that's how they're transmitting out their radio frequency. You can disable those, but they can still be transmitting. And so I actually, you know, I did, you know, everything, and I had a tech come out twice and walked them through that, and it was still transmitting, you know, very, very high, even though everything was turned off. So my recommendation is actually to get it. You can get modems that do not transmit Wi-Fi at all, and then you just go through and set that up.
Okay, that sounds like a big hassle.
You know, it's actually pretty easy.
Okay, thank you for reaffirming that. This question came up. I interviewed Dr. Tom O'Brien for the last summit, and he had mentioned a couple of these things. And then I had some questions come up in our private Facebook group. And one woman said that she had called to have, you know, her server to be able to turn it off, and they had said, no, you can't do that. So then the discussion came up, well, it sounds like you have to change your server. And, you know, so I just wanted to reiterate that this is possible.
So. Yes, it is. Okay. So what I had to do, and what most people will have to do, is if for some reason their modem, because a lot of times, right, you lease them through your provider, whether it's Comcast or CenturyLink or whoever, sometimes you will have to go and purchase a third party modem, which is what I had to do in my case. So in previous instances, when I've changed service providers, I've always been able to measure and find, okay, great, it's not transmitting anything, so it's good. But for some reason, you know, this particular time, even though I had actually went back to an older modem and disabled everything, it still didn't prevent it from transmitting. So So in this case, your person may have to get a third-party modem. And all she would have to do is call them and say, hey, I want to get a modem that does not transmit any Wi-Fi. Where's a list of all the manufacturers that are compatible with your service?
Perfect. That's great. Thank you for that advice.
Yep, you bet.
Now, what about the 5G rollout? This has got everybody in a Twitter right now.
Yes. So 5G is currently in deployment. There have been, you know, test cities throughout throughout the states, and nobody know, I mean, it's been really hard to determine what the exact frequencies are. So when I talk about frequency, so our bodies, just to kind of give you an idea of just kind of relativity, so our bodies tend to vibrate or have a frequency between 62 and 68 hertz. So think of it as cycles per second, or that's just what we vibrate at. And the reason why 5G is such a huge deal is because these frequencies that they're deploying out are, you know, it's 18 to 30 and up to 77 gigahertz. So gigahertz is billions of cycles per second. And what happens is our bodies here, just kind of hanging out between 62 and 70 hertz, tries to raise up to meet those frequencies. So, you know, when we talk about, you know, how these fields affect us and the signals that our body can't interpret, if you can kind of imagine your body just kind of revving up or amping up to try and meet these frequencies, it's you know, it's not going to be possible. The other thing is that at those higher frequencies, there's been a lot of complaints that because it's radiation, it's heat, so you'll actually feel burning or tingling sensations. And so, kind of the good thing about 5G is that because some of the places where it has been deployed, you know, where they put up the cell tower and it's got 5G panels on it, is that, you know, with in very close proximity, the people are, you know, either people are experiencing very severe symptoms, or they're noticing things like birds dying or plants or things like that. And so, which of course it's bad, but it's kind of like that tipping point, right? Where, right, you know, people are starting to wake up and go, okay, this is
enough, you know, is enough.
This is not okay. Yeah. Like, right, this is, you know, so it's, yeah, it's going to be interesting to kind of see how,
is there a way to shield from it?
There is, but the problem with shielding is that you have different types of electromagnetic fields. And so radio frequency, which is what 5G falls under that category, that's only one type of EMF field. So you can shield it, but you know, the 5G towers, right, they're either going to be satellites or they're going to be mounted on power poles or light poles in your neighborhood. And so if you have Wi-Fi inside of your house and you shield it, let's say with, you know, it could be paint, it could be, you know, you can buy fabric to shield, you know, curtains and things like that. You're going to trap the signal for everything that you have inside of your house. So it's kind of a dual thing, right? You're protecting yourself from what's coming in outside, but you've got things inside too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And are there places in the United States that are 5G free, you know, that are designated? I don't know the answer to this question. I'm just wondering.
No, it's, you know, 5G, it's more, I don't want to say it's 5G free, but there are, because it's being deployed, you know, in the city. So that's where the residents are fighting the city from installing those towers. Mm-hmm. So for example, down in Portland, they actually, you know, they were able to delay the rollout. And so what a lot of times there, where we're seeing a lot of the successes is where the city says, okay, well, I guess we don't have enough information, so we're going to not continue with our deployment plans and do a health review or something like that.
And watch to see the other cities. So Seattle actually probably hasn't rolled out. Yeah.
I haven't seen any. I keep looking, and I think I've figured out like what the, because the other thing too is, you know, you've got these boxes or these antennas, and so you have to know what to look for. Mm-hmm. And so, since I've, you know, it's been super busy for me the last couple of weeks, but I have a new meter so that I can just take it with me and measure and see if, you know, if it's up in those frequencies.
Oh, okay. But, interesting. Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate you spending time talking about this, and it's in just like when we talk about genetics, when we talk about genetics in the moment we're talking about it, it's the what we know right now. And that's going to be the same for this. It's always changing. And so, you know, like we're learning more because things are evolving, and electromagnetic energy fields are changing all the time. So as we talk about this, it's like, okay, next year could be a whole different conversation, right?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And you have a free gift for our audience?
I do. Do you have the URL that I sent you?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So that'll be attached to this talk, everybody, here on the website. And I just wanted to see if you wanted to introduce it.
You bet. So there's a couple of free gifts in there. One is a planner. So if you're wanting to, gosh, I want to reduce EMF fields in my house, it's just a quick overview plan of just, you know, walking through each of the different areas of your home of, like I said, just a quick overview. That's kind of like a checklist. The other two have to do with the other areas of your home where you can have toxins. So if you're cleaning up your house, you definitely want to pay attention to your air quality because you have all sorts of dust and dirt and bacteria. And there's some guidance in there on air filters if you're evaluating air filters, because that's one of the easiest ways that you can clean up the air quality in your home. The other question I get a lot is around water and what to look for in water filters. So there's also a section in there on water. And I'm trying to think of what the other one is. Like the other one is a detox. So it's two of the other things that I don't include in my book, but there are two other detoxing methods that you can do at home.
Beautiful.
You can do it all right away.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate you staying up on this and conveying it to the rest of us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me here. It's been really nice.
All right, everybody. Stay well and until next time.